Nachhaltig Weltwärts, der Podcast für alle, die weltwärts denken.
Hallo zu einer neuen Ausgabe von Nachhaltig Weltwärts, dem Podcast von Engagement Global, und heute mit einer super besonderen Ausgabe, denn wir haben die Möglichkeit, mit Esther in Ecuador zu sprechen. Sie ist ehemalige Süd-Nord-Freiwillige und das Gespräch wird super spannend, das kann ich auf jeden Fall schon mal versprechen. Aber weil sie sich ein bisschen sicherer in Englisch fühlt, haben wir das Gespräch eben in Englisch geführt. Ich hoffe, mein hier und da vielleicht leicht verrostetes Englisch stört euch nicht und wünsche euch jetzt ganz viel Spaß beim Hören.
Wenn ihr übrigens Feedback zu dieser Episode habt, dann schreibt uns gerne entweder über Instagram oder per Mail an redaktion@weltwärts.de und Weltwärts mit AE. Wir sind gespannt.
I said it in German already, but I want to say it in English as well. Welcome to the new episode of Nachhaltig Weltwärts, a podcast of Engagement Global. And hello to Esther.
Hello, Matthias. Hello, all the people that listen to Weltwärts podcast. Thank you for your invitation and for this time.
You're so welcome. Thanks for your time. And my first question is, where are you right now?
And now I am in my home. I live in a small town in Ecuador. The name is Cañar. And yeah, I am very happy to be here with you in this conversation.
Let me introduce Esther to you all. 6 years ago, Esther decided to do a Weltwärts year. In 2015 and 16, she was a volunteer on a youth farm in Erlangen, Germany. Together with her organization, Internationaler Bund e.V., and the volunteer abroad program, Esther worked with animals and children. Actually, Germany was her first trip outside of Ecuador. Before she moved to Germany, Esther finished her studies in psychology. And besides that, Esther loves to dance. For example, folklore. Esther, is that true? Do you really love to dance that much?
Well, I love to dance. I think that Latin music is very big. Now I am in a dance group. And I try to learn to dance traditional music from Ecuador and Latin America.
Sounds so cool. I need to listen to it.
Yeah, that's very, very nice.
Let's now talk about your year abroad, your year in Germany, your Weltwärts year. Why Germany?
When I was in the university, I knew two men from Germany. One of them come back in Ecuador in 2015, and he talked me about this volunteer in Germany. I never have information about Germany, but I don't know. I think that was a good idea. And yeah, I think I was lucky, but yeah, I think it was a big decision, but I think it's okay.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But tell us a bit more in detail. Why did you choose Germany?
Why not?
Okay.
Yes.
That's it.
That's the reason. Yeah. I think in this time, I didn't think very well my decision. I only take the decision. I say, okay, why not? Go to Germany.
Okay, so yeah. It was more some kind of spontaneous idea?
Spontaneous decision, yes.
Okay, wow. So after this spontaneous idea, you choose a project in Erlangen in Bavaria. Why this project? I mean, there's not much with psychology in it.
No, when I sent my documents, the program was a Spanish teacher. When I received my letter and they say that my volunteer year was in a Jugend farm and I have to work with kinder and with animals. Yeah, that was a surprise too. Yeah, I think was good.
Yeah, you did the south-north Weltwärts part. Actually, nearly everyone can do this. It is between 6 and 18 months, and all the participants have to be between the age of 18 and 28. Sometimes it can be up to 35. Already over 3,000 people were part of the south-north exchange, and yeah. A lot of people, especially from the German side, do Weltwärts after they finish school. You decided that you do the Weltwärts year after you finish university, after you finished all your studies in psychology. Why was it so important for you to go abroad at this time?
Yeah, because I think I need this year with myself. I think it was an important experience for me. I learned a lot of things about me. I learned about my passions, about my relationship with my family, with my friends. And I think, yeah, when I finished the university, I think the first idea is I need to work, I need to make experience about my profession. But in this time, when I be selected for Belmert's Freiwillige Sozialjahr, when I talked with my dad and he said, this is a good experience, go for this. Because when I was in the university all the time, I only study. I think the volunteer year was very necessary to know me.
Yeah, I completely feel you. I double this. I think Weltwärts is so important. Yeah, to find out more about yourself completely. But when you look back into the year, what was the biggest challenge for you?
The language, I think. I have a very lovely guest family. I think that was a very good, because when I stay in Ecuador, I live with my parents, and when I go to Germany, I live with a family, and that was very good for me too. Yeah, I think that my big challenge was learning about the other people, other culture, another country, and yeah, I think it was a big challenge, but was a big experience too.
Sure, it was a big experience, but let's be honest, when we talk about hard language, then you made your year even harder when you choose to go to Bavaria, because nothing against Bavaria, but it's not like the typical German. It's a lot of dialect over there. But I think that's also part of Weltwärts, isn't it? That you have to find your own way, and language might be difficult all over the world for a lot of volunteers.
Yeah, I think something similar happens in Latin America too, because our language, when you learn Spanish, you learn the Spanian Spanish. And here in Ecuador, we have another words with another meanings. In Colombia, is the same thing. And in Peru, is the same thing. There are a lot of words that have another means. Here in my city, for example. Yes, I think. Yeah, but I think when I was learning Germany, I have a lot of children, and I think it was easier for me talk with the kinder. Because the kinder talk slowly and always try to explain you. And I learned a lot of words and a lot of things with them.
Sure. Yeah, I'm 100% sure. Working with children is really, I mean, you can learn a lot of things. So when you thought about Germany, what were your expectations?
Yeah, when I received the mail, I think in November, and I say, okay, now I need to say to my parents. I always remember that, because we, with my sister, we made the lunch and we were in the table in my home, and I say, okay, I need to tell something very important, but I don't know how to say that. And my parents thought a lot of things. That was very funny. Because when my mother started to say, okay, I understand, or whatever things, I say, okay, no. Germany chose me to this program, and I have to go. And my father was in shock, started to cry. My mother was very happy, like, go, you can know another country. And my father was crying because I am the last one in my home. Yeah, when with my friends were very happy.
I remember that in our first talk we had, you said that when you talk about Germany and Ecuador, you have a special picture, a special image.
Yeah, in the school, when talking about Germany, about another countries, but when to talk about Germany, only talk about the Second World War. All the people in Germany are like a racist. And I think that was the first conception that we have about Germany. And I think it's very important that we, like Latin America people, we need to learn about Germany and have another perspective about the people. I say, for me, the German people are very kind, are very, very, very friendly, I don't know, very lovely with me. I think was more kind that the people in Ecuador is.
Okay.
That's
I mean, as a German, I don't hear that very often. And
yeah.
Out of my personal view, I might not say the same.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. In my city, there are a lot of people from all countries.
Yeah.
When I go to my Brahe course, I know people from Turkey, from Iraq, Iran, so many places. And I made my volunteer with another woman, and a woman from Ecuador too, and we made a good friendship, a good relationship. In the Jugendfound, I have a lot of people from Venezuela, from Colombia, from Peru.
Yeah, that's a very cool part of Weltfest, I would say, that you have the chance to get to know to so many different cultures, people, and everything. So, let's talk a bit about South-North again, about this part of Weltwärts. Why do you think South-North is a very, very important element of Weltwärts?
I don't know. I think we have a very different perspective about the country, about the people, about the work. I think it's very important when the people in Latin America can go to another country and can go to Germany. Because you have the opportunity to learn a new language, to learn about a new culture, and you have the opportunity to learn about all the things that maybe you can learn here in Latin America. I knew a very nice persons in Germany, and I have the opportunity to be in a Jugend farm, and in this farm there are a lot of kids. And we have a very different experience. We made an Ecuadorian Christmas, and that was very funny. And I think it's very important to the German people know about the Latin America culture, because we have a different perspective. And it's very important when you make this interchange. But yeah.
Okay, now, but actually you have to tease us the best. So now you have to tell us about this Ecuador's Christmas, the party or whatever you did there.
The first thing was for me was a shocker that a lot of kids didn't know where is Ecuador. And we started with a map. I make a presentation to my country, to the traditional dishes and the traditional things here in Ecuador. And then we try to make like a sugar roll as here in Ecuador. But yeah, I think it was very funny because we, here in Ecuador, a traditional dish is the guinea pig. And in the Yucan farm, we have a lot of guinea pigs. And this guinea pig is a pet, not a food. And the kid was shocked because why the people in Ecuador can eat a guinea pig, and I say that's Telica. And yeah, I think it was very good. It was a very nice experience.
I'm 100% sure that it was a great experience, actually. In Ecuador, you work as a psychologist and you are an activist for women's rights. What exactly are you doing?
Yes, I am psychology. I have my own office with a friend. We start with the pandemic because here in Ecuador, there are a lot of problems with the mental health, and I think it was very necessary to make this office and to make this kind of therapy. And we have a feminist collective in Cañar too. The name is Warmikuna Pacha. Warmikuna Pacha is a Quechua word that means time for woman, and we try to help to another woman to report the aggression, to report the violence, and I work with these women in therapy too, and help with problems. Sometimes there are a lot of violence problems in Cañar, and the women feel alone and feel she can't report alone to the police eyes. We try to help with all this situation.
Wow, that's a really fantastic work which you do. Really great. And you have your own organization which you started. I think it's called Warmikuna Pacha.
Yeah, you are very good.
What exactly are you doing in this organization?
Yeah, with the organizations we have a lot of projects, and the idea is learn and teach to another people in Ecuador about the machismos, all these situations here, and make a change and talk about the big problems in Ecuador. There are a lot of disinformations about the feminisms, and yeah, there are a lot of situations. We try to use the social media, and we always try to talk with the girls when they need something. We always try to be connected, because with the pandemic it's very difficult to make a personal meeting.
So when a woman would come to you, what are the next steps? What are you doing?
Gender violence or problems with her husband. I try to find another place to live or something like that. The idea is like a help to the woman to be more empowerment and understand about their rights and their situations in Cañar.
Yeah. Now, you said about your work, and we talked already about machism, but why is it such a big topic in Ecuador?
A big problem, because we normalize a lot of activities or a lot of things about this situation. With the comedy, or when you see the TV, there are a lot of programs that normalize the violence or the woman violence. And the idea is make a change about that. I think we need to learn a lot of things ourselves about the perception of a woman be. We try to make a protest, and I think the idea is that the woman feels that not to be alone.
Okay, and how does these machism shows in your daily life? How does it look like?
I don't know. The comedy, I think, is a big problem. And not only with the women, it's about GLTBQ too. I don't know, maybe the jokes is always like a, don't be like a girl, don't be like a woman, like a joke, like a bad thing. I think there are a lot of things that is very normal in Ecuador. When you go to the street and the men want to say something, they only say. You cannot walk in Ecuador after night alone. You always feel the fear. And I think that's a big problem too. We don't feel free about anything.
Oh, okay. You said before we recorded this podcast, you already told me that somehow your engagement, your organization started during your Weltwärtsjahr, because you had the feeling that women in Germany are more respected. So help us a bit more. When you go out in the street in Ecuador, how's the situation?
Yeah, I don't know. When I live in Germany, I can go out with my friends to the midnight or whatever time, and I always feel secure. I always walk alone, or I didn't feel fear, or I didn't feel that something bad can happen But here in Ecuador, I always send my live vacation to my closer friends. I always write a message to my friends that I am here, please, in 10 minutes, I take the bus, and please, I call you when I stay home. I think that happens to all the women in all the Ecuador.
You said when you arrived in Germany, you were a bit surprised because you had the feeling that the men were looking through you. You were invisible and you thought you did something wrong.
Yeah, yes, because when you go to the street here in Ecuador, the men always say something about your body, about your clothes, about all about you. I think that is not normal, but that happens every day in whatever time. But when I was in Germany, when I took the bus or walked and in the street, the men in Germany never see you. Yeah, and I feel like, okay, so maybe it's something wrong about my clothes or something wrong about me. That was my first idea. Then a friend explained me, someone is not your friend. He can talk with you. I don't know. I think the German men are very respectful.
Oh, wow. let's say thank you. When you came back to Ecuador after your Weltwitz year, you decided to start this organization. In the beginning, you were just a few people. Right now, you're over 80 people working in your organization. And in the future, you want to build some kind of center, huge center. What are your goals, your targets there?
Yeah, my idea is with another friend to make a big center, and we can help the persons that don't have the enough money to pay the pay therapy, because sometimes people can't pay a psychology therapy because it's expensive. And the idea is be accessible for the people, and you can go and you can have therapy, because I think it's very important work in mental health too.
Yeah, mental health is so important. Actually, also in Germany, you have to wait sometimes for weeks or months. So that's somehow crazy, especially because mental health is so important. And I think very often it stands behind, I don't know, body health and all these other issues.
Yes, I think that's a big problem for the people. You don't have appointment in the correct time. The appointments are very, very far to the day when you call. Maybe I call today and my appointment is in 2 weeks or in a month. And I think that is not possible too, because you have an emergency, you need the appointment in this moment, right now, and you need help. And that happens in Ecuador. And that's the big problem. In the pandemic, we can see this big situation about the mental health.
Yes. I can't say something else. So let's continue with our little podcast. And everyone who had already listened to some of our other episodes knows that we have one important category. Let's continue with three fast questions.
Die drei schnellen Fragen.
Are you ready?
Yes, I think.
Okay, what is your favorite German word?
Oh my god. Verliebt. Verlieben.
Aww.
Ich liebe this verb.
After your favorite word, which word do you really hate?
Fünf, hundert, fünf und fünfzig.
Yeah, 555.
Yeah.
Difficult word.
Yeah. Yeah. The
U. You get a flight ticket from me without a destination. Which country should I write on the ticket?
Germany.
Oh, wow. That was fast.
Yeah. I want to come back.
You're always welcome.
Thank you so much.
That's it. That were our three fast questions. But sadly, our time is over and we have to say goodbye. But first, thanks, Esther, for your time.
Thank you for your passion.
Thank you very much. No, really, I'm really thankful that you shared your story with us. I mean, it was so interesting. Thanks again. And for everyone out there, please follow us wherever you listen to us so that you don't miss one of our upcoming episodes. And for now, before our traditional last words go out to you, Esther, I say thanks that you listened. And as always, I say stay positive. Doesn't matter how and doesn't matter where.
Okay, I want to try to say that in German. Okay. Wenn Sie möchten über Kanyar oder über unsere feministischen Kollektiven kennen zu machen, wir sind auf Instagram als Kollektiva Warmikuna Pacha. Und auch ich bin in Instagram als Vivian Darkblum. Und einiges möchte über Ecuador oder über Cañar lernen, können einfach follow-ups.
Nachhaltig weltwärts, ein Podcast von Engagement Global im Auftrag des Bundesministeriums für wirtschaftliche Zusammenarbeit und Entwicklung.